The House of Representatives, it takes just a simple majority to do anything. That's the way that most of the rest of the world works. But in the US, in the Senate, it takes 60 votes out of 100. You need 60% of the senators to do anything because of this thing called the filibuster. But there are a couple narrow exceptions, and the most famous of those, the most commonly used, is budget reconciliation. And that's where, as long as the bill is kind of following some specific guidelines and rules and limitations, then you can do it with only 51 votes instead of 60. That's important because Republicans don't have 60 votes, right? They have 53. And so otherwise they wouldn't be able to do their, much of their agenda. But because of this, there are a few narrowly tailored things that they can do with just the majority that they have.
I remember when Democrats tried to do immigration pathways to citizenship for immigration through the budget reconciliation when they had control, and they were unable to. So, what can't you do?
Yeah, so the right way to think about this is that reconciliation is about getting federal dollars in and out the door. That can be through raising taxes and lowering taxes. That can be through increasing spending or decreasing spending. Asterisk, you can also change the debt limit. Yes, changing immigration law will affect the federal dollars spent. Yes, it will affect the tax revenue brought in, but you're not doing that because you're trying to change the federal revenue. You're doing it because you're trying to change immigration law. Now, there are other things within immigration that you could do, right? So you can build a wall because that is spending federal dollars to do a thing. Trump could fund a major like deportation task force because that is spending money to hire people to do a thing.
Washington Post is reporting Republicans are eyeing social safety net programs.
Absolutely. I think people should be worried about changes to the social safety net. You can't change Social Security in reconciliation. There's a narrow exception just for Social Security, but all the rest of them are on the table. And I would say in the Biden administration, there was a roughly a 20, 25% increase to SNAP, right? That raised the benefits are very meager. Right now, it's about a little over $2 per person per meal. It used to be about $1.50, $1.60 per person per meal, and right, so you could change that and take this already meager program and significantly scale back kind of the benefits that it does, right? You could, I don't think that Republicans will do this, but you could completely rework Medicare, right? You could make the premiums kind of way higher. You could cover fewer things through budget reconciliation. And so I think these things are very real. I think these things are very worrisome and meaningful. Republicans have signaled interest in paring back some of the important social safety net programs that Americans rely on, right? They've also signaled that they're interested in paring back some of the initiatives that we did in the Inflation Reduction Act that were about helping to curb some of the growth in carbon emissions, greenifying the electric grid and that sort of stuff. I also think it's important to state that, like, what they're looking for is many, many, many trillions of dollars of tax cuts and maybe hundreds of billions of dollars of spending cuts.
That was another question I wanted to ask. So the Republicans today at a press conference, they said they're one of the first things they want to do is extend the 2017 tax cuts. And they're saying that this expansion would be a way to make life more affordable for everyday working families and working Americans. Can you respond to that?
The first thing that I think it's important to look at here is that these are tax cuts that gave significantly larger tax cut to the rich than to anyone else. So they're billed as these middle class tax cuts in the same way that the Bush tax cuts were, but the benefits that flow to normal citizens is significantly lower than what folks at the high end are seeing. And then I think the other point that I would make is that it's not as if the tax cuts happen in isolation, right? So we do tax cuts, and then people say, oh my gosh, the deficit is really big, so we have to cut spending. And so what we end up seeing is folks will come in and they will increase the deficit via tax cuts that disproportionately help the rich. And then they will come in and say, you know what we should really do is we should cut spending that disproportionately helps poor people. So we give tax cuts disproportionately to the rich, and then they're asked to be offset fully or partially by spending that disproportionately helps people of need. And I think that is like a profoundly unfair system. I don't think it's right to, like, I don't think you can like credibly say, oh, this is good for the middle class, and then I'm going to come in and cut spending that people rely on. Then people are actually left worse off.
But I think what happened was because cuts to programs like Medicaid and SNAP are so unpopular, they actually didn't happen. And so Trump left office with an $8.4 trillion deficit.
Yeah, so I would say narrowly we successfully fought off kind of some of the worst, but I would say what we saw in the Trump admin was an increase in structural deficits from his tax cuts, right, and from defense spending increases and that sort of thing. I am worried that this time around they will come and they say, okay, well, it's time to tighten your belts, right? We're going to do more tax increases and we're going to try to offset it with things that people rely on.
Well, so what are the options Democrats could employ? But I mean, even asking that question presumes Democrats would want to when they had control, they failed to reverse the tax cuts in the first place.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. I guess what I would say is that if you look at the long-term projections of debt, every single year, the long-term projections of debt in the Biden-Harris administration got better, right? So if you look at the 20, long-term deficit projections were better in 2024 than they were in 2023. They were better in 2023 than 2022. They were better in 2022 than 2021. That's not true for the Trump administration, right? So it's true that they didn't end up reversing the Trump tax cuts. They also, were set to expire, right? It's one, I think the position you'll see a lot of Democrats, I believe, take is, why don't we keep some of these things over here, and why don't we offset them, right? And I think that's juxtaposed with the people who say, nope, let's just throw it on the credit card, which again, it's the power, right? The whole point of reconciliation is to avoid the filibuster. It's something Republicans can do unilaterally. They don't need any Democratic input if they can hold their caucus together.